Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, only one team could open the season the way the Patriots did, and they took advantage.
And thankfully, the Steelers didn't cover Gronk, so woo, it was rolling from the get-go.
That helped.
No, it was a very impressive performance. You know, that's a good football team, theoretically. I know you like to caution us to wait till the end of the year before we anoint teams good and bad, but that Steelers should be a playoff competitor. And you took full advantage of them offensively, threw the ball however you wanted, and were good enough, I would say, defensively, competitive enough to take care of business.
Yeah, I think no questions were answered for any team in the NFL this week. But I think that, you know, some of the things we were looking at was the offensive line. I think it held up for the most part in the game. I don't think Brady was under too much pressure. The secondary had its issues. I think that Pittsburgh left a lot of points on the field. Patriots got lucky, but, you know, I think even if, you know, they had connected in the end zone on that one play, I think the Patriots had enough in their offensive arsenal that they would have found a way to win this particular game.
Yeah, I see. That's exactly how I feel. I think the secondary absolutely had its issues, but in terms of winning and losing, I don't think it mattered. I think the Patriots were going to score enough points to win this game, regardless of how well the Steelers took advantage of this scoring opportunity. I agree with you, Fred. They didn't. They left a lot of points out there. But the thing that really struck me was how well the offense played with Brady, Edelman, and Gronkowski receiving so little time together on the practice field all summer long. They looked right in sync right from the start. Andy touched on it. Some of that Pittsburgh certainly helped with, but just how efficient and effective Brady was, 19 completions in a row at one point. I wasn't expecting it to be midseason form like that right out of the gate.
We were in our radio show, we were talking about that. I didn't realize he had that streak going until he had it. It just seemed like it's so nonchalant for Brady. He really didn't look like he had any rust at all. Like you said, you know, his timing with Gronk and Edelman was perfect. It was like midseason form. It's really good to see because we had a chance to watch the other games because of the Patriots playing on Thursday, and a lot of other offenses struggled out of the game.
No, but when you put two Hall of Famers in that mix, whether they played in the preseason or not, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are two of the best that ever played their positions. You mix in one of the game's top slot receivers today. You know, I'm sure Coach Belichick may not love the fact that people are now saying, well, who needs preseason? They just roll right out and put up big numbers. But, you know, you're seeing the makings of what this offense can be, even with the limitations you mentioned. You know, you had three rookies playing across the board up front at guard, guard, and center. And I don't think David Andrews gets enough credit for what he was able to do. An undrafted rookie comes in, starts at center, and on opening night, you know, all the pomp and circumstance, everybody else got a break at some point during the game. They rotated guys through at guard, even at tackle, and he just stood out there, did the job, and led the offense. And you're right, Brady was no worse the wear for it.
No. And, you know, four touchdowns by Brady, all of them to his tight ends.
Twin Towers.
Twin Tower.
No, listen,
I don't think he can have a twin tower.
One of them is as good. One of them is better than two.
He's good for both. But Gronk did get the game ball afterwards. You know, a lot of people thought, well, you know, it has to be Brady. But I think in giving it to Gronk, I think it was kind of a message that, you know, you are, even though you're not a captain, a lot of people were disappointed he wasn't named the captain.
This guy.
You are a leader on this team, and you know, we are going to recognize you coming right in, not having played in the preseason, and just, you know, carrying us like you did.
And I thought the way Belichick talked about Gronkowski leading into the game, about how hard he worked all summer, even though he didn't play in the preseason, they really worked him hard. He worked hard to make sure he was ready. He talked about being super excited. We had him for our interview last week. He talked about the excitement of opening night. That's the kind of performance I think that he was envisioning, and I'm sure Belichick recognized the work that he put in with Brian Daboll off the field to get himself ready.
Well, listen, if you watch any of those specials that were on last week, Belichick, in a real honest moment, you know, mentioned that those Super Bowls and those seasons probably would have ended differently had Gronkowski been either not hurt or at least 100%. And he doesn't say that about a lot of guys. He doesn't single guys out in wins or losses like that. And I think they realize they've got something real special in Gronkowski.
And we've talked about it all offseason. You know, the story of last year's Patriots, and I don't want to take too much time for last year, we're on to 15, but was Darrell Revis, Malcolm Butler, the defense, but you had Gronkowski wire to wire. You may have won regardless of the defensive turnover because you had maybe the most indefensible player in football. You just can't, you can't cover him. Now, again, you can try harder than the Steelers
right.
did.
You can actually put somebody on him.
Right. But, I mean, he is such a difference maker, you know, a game changer. Whatever you want to label it, he is it right now. He's the J.J. Watt of offensive football right now in the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the Steelers not covering him. I was thoroughly unimpressed with them. I felt they didn't look like they were ready to begin the season. You know, forget about all the headset whining. I just think on the field, they just didn't look mentally or physically ready to play football.
Well, somewhere Dick LeBeau is saying, you know, maybe I wasn't the problem. Maybe I wasn't old and washed up like some people thought I was, including me, because at least he matched up a small safety with Gronk a couple years ago when he had his way with them. Keith Butler just didn't seem like he was ready for prime time to lead that
team. Well, one thing I'm pretty certain of, this week against the Bills is going to be a lot stiffer test than last week.
A pretty solid Patriots debut for running back Deion Lewis in the opener. 19 touches altogether, 15 carries, 4 receptions. A pretty heavy workload for a small guy, and that's one thing I'm concerned about moving forward. But I think it might need to be that way at least for one more week. I think it makes a lot of sense to use him as the feature guy against Buffalo. I think the spread formations that he would be used really could give the Bills some trouble. So maybe for one more week, you roll the dice, you let the little guy be the feature guy, but overall, you gotta like what you've seen from Deion Lewis so far. I'm gonna switch over to the defensive side here for a second. Dominique Easley got banged up early in that game against the Steelers. He had to miss the rest of the way. That's a minor concern for me because I'm not sure they have a tremendous amount of depth in that second defensive tackle spot. They have some bigger guys like Silva Salinga and Alan Branch to go along with first-round pick Malcolm Brown. But I know they want a different kind of player like Easley, more of an athletic type, and I'm not sure they have the guy that they really feel good about on the roster. They used rookie Geno Grissom in that role. I thought he got pushed around a little bit. We might see some Trey Flowers this week against Buffalo. I think Flowers showed a little bit more versatility in the summer than Grissom did. Maybe not quite as dynamic an athlete, but I want to see what Flowers can do. I'm going to stick with defense here for my final point. I'm going to look at cornerback Malcolm Butler. I thought he had, obviously, a big task at hand in the opener going against Antonio Brown, the Steelers All-Pro wide receiver. Some good, some bad, a little bit uneven of a performance. But here's what I really liked about what Butler did. He doesn't get down. The confidence level remains high. Even when Brown is making catch after catch, he's talking about using it as a learning experience. And I think overall, in the long run, he's going to be much better off for it. I like that Belichick decided to go with that move in the opener. See what you have. See where Butler stands. And I think moving forward, you're going to have a better player as a result.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I still know a little more than what I knew last year. So, no, just learning, getting better, and building off each game.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week for the big win against Pittsburgh. Here's Deion Lewis, who had a nice little game, both running and catching the ball. One half of the Twin Towers, Scott Chandler, scores his first touchdown as a Patriot. And finally, images of the week wouldn't be complete without Rob Gronkowski.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room here at Gillette Stadium, Malcolm Butler, Patriots cornerback, coming off a big opening night win. How fun was it to get back out there, play some real football?
It was very fun. You know, I was excited to get out of there. Probably a little bit overexcited, but, you know, I was glad to get back out there. You know, everything counts now. Ready to roll and, you know, just keep being productive, try to bring home W's.
People probably don't understand that because of your popularity and your fame in the offseason, you were everywhere, the Grammys and all that, they see you a lot, that you're still a young, inexperienced player. Is every game you step on the field, is that a learning opportunity for you at this point?
Basically, I'm in my rookie year this year playing, but, you know, I still know a little more than what I knew last year. So, no, just learning, getting better, and building off each game.
As you go through the process of the first week of the season, what do you take from what was a matchup against maybe the best receiver in football in Antonio Brown? What can you work on and build off of from that matchup?
The small things, you know, lining up right, just being calm and play how would you play in practice or any other game, and, you know, just just playing football, man. Just going out, compete each and every play. And, you know, that's what I'm going to continue to do.
People always look at you, and the first thing they talk about is you ooze confidence. You don't seem to be a guy that gets down. You're able to come back on that next play, which is key at cornerback. Where does that come from? Have you had that confidence your entire life? Is that just natural?
You know, most definitely, yeah. You got to have that confidence, you know. You're going to be bricks thrown at you. You just got to keep going, you know. That's how I got here today. You know, I had a couple bad things happen in my life, but, you know, I kept moving forward, you know, short-term memory.
Speaking of moving forward, we turn the page to the Buffalo Bills. Real interesting offense. They have a lot of playmakers. Seem like they can be real explosive. What have you seen from them on film as you prepare to face them?
You know, first of all, you just got to go out there and play good as a group all together. But, you know, of course, they got Watkins, Harvin, Woods. So, you know, they got some good players. So we're just going to go out there, match up the best way we can, stop the run, play football.
And for you personally, is what gives you the biggest problem at this point in your career? Is it athletic guys that are quick? Is it big guys that are physical? Or do you even know at this point as you sort of get used to facing NFL receivers week to week?
You know, I'm up to every challenge. And, you know, whatever problems comes up, you know, I just have to adjust and fix it at that moment or whenever I have time to. But other than that, I'm just going out, playing the best I can, doing the best I can each and every play, and just playing how I play, so.
Okay, I want to ask you now, I'm sure your Twitter followers blew up after February, obviously, with your fame. MacBZ, I believe it is, with an underscore in there. Mm-hmm. Is there a story behind that? What is MacBZ?
It's just short for Malcolm Butler. I just shortened it up for Malcolm Butler.
That's what about the BZ?
Butler, you know, just put a little slang in, like Snoop Dogg would do, you know.
And you put a little slang in your game. Are you guys going to get more excited as you get more comfortable on the football field? You feel you're a pretty hype player when you're out there?
Most definitely. You know, I've been like that since college, so I don't see too much change.
And I'll have another opportunity on Sunday in Buffalo against the Buffalo Bills and their high-powered attack. As we look at this week's matchup with the Bills in Buffalo, many will focus on Rex Ryan's defense, but I'm going to look on the other side of the ball. Offense and game-changing playmakers, athletes, LeSean McCoy, Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, and the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. It's a unique group who can take the ball from anywhere on the field and put it in the end zone. We saw that last week. Taylor with a 31-yard run and a 50-yard touchdown pass. Watkins and McCoy got off to a slow start. It'll be up to Jamie Collins, Devin McCourty, and the Patriots athletes to make sure that continues. When we flip to the other side of the football and the Patriots offense, we're going to start up front with the offensive line. Maybe Ryan Wendell will be back, but it's still a major challenge for the young guys up front. Shaq Mason, Trey Jackson, David Andrews should all be in the mix against maybe the best defensive line in football. The Williams brothers, Kyle Williams, Mario Williams, Marcel Darius will be back for the Bills. Phil Hughes on the outside. It's a test for this young front. Let's see if they're up to the challenge. And finally, we look at the matchup of the Patriots and their opponent. Every week, it's about the big man, number 87. Rex Ryan said he'll stand on their track record against Gronkowski. Guess what? It's not all that impressive. They shut him out early in his first couple games as a rookie. Since then, Gronkowski, 6 catches and 75 yards a game against Rex Ryan's defenses. And guess what? Gronk in Buffalo equals fantasy points for you. 4 career games there, 5 touchdowns. He's the local boy, likely to put it in the end zone against that defense, just like he did last week against the Steelers.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
There will be highs, great highs, great highs. That's what he's all about.
And then bad lows are coming for Rex.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
There's no shortage of season-long predictions out there based on just 1 week of football. So instead, let's look at some of the previously held beliefs we had that week one confirmed. Peyton Manning is a fastball pitcher learning how to throw a knuckleball late in his career. Here's another one. Rex Ryan knows how to build and coach a defense. We know that. The Rams know how to give their NFC West rivals fits. The Texans QB situation will hold them back. We said that before the season. Oakland, Jacksonville, and Washington are still Oakland, Jacksonville, and Washington. And finally, the Colts are as soft as cream corn. We know that.
The great thing about the Patriots playing on Thursday night is it gives you an opportunity to watch the rest of the league on Sunday and Monday. And I got a chance to do that Sunday night with the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. And my God, I have to tell you, I can't remember a coach and a quarterback self-destructing to the point that the Giants did late in that game in Dallas. You know the story. Inside of 2 minutes, the Cowboys have no timeouts, and the Giants decide to throw the ball from the one-yard line and not have Eli Manning at least take a sack if the pass wasn't there. Worse yet, there was reports out of New York that they had Rashard Jennings not score on purpose, that they may have lost track of the timeouts that Dallas had. Total clock mismanagement, and you end up losing a football game that you had absolutely in the bag. I know it's week one, but that's awful tough to come back from. What a mess Tom Coughlin has on his hands.
Ask my kids. I hate whining. And because they are now 6 and 8, I thought I was done with whining forever. Unfortunately, it's crept into the NFL and it's crept into my professional life. Let's turn back the clock to last January. John Harbaugh, whining about formations, whining about everything because he lost. Then Ryan Grigson, whining about everything. Why? Because he lost. And then on opening night, Mike Tomlin whining about his headsets and the rain and anything else he could whine about. What do these teams have in common? They're losers. They lose to the Patriots because losers whine and winners don't. So either stop whining, try to win, or I'll call Whine 1-1 for you.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Rex Ryan's Buffalo Bills had a very impressive opening day win over the Colts. That leaves us with the question, are they a legit contender for the Patriots' AFC East throne, Paul Perillo?
I can't believe I'm going to say it. I think they are.
I think you're drunk.
I think
it's appropriate. We're in a luxury suite. You tapped into the Brews.
We're in the middle of the afternoon. I'm not drunk yet. Listen, I think that they are a pretty good football team. I want to see more of Tyrod Taylor, but if Tyrod Taylor can play the way he played on Sunday and sort of make some plays, mix some plays in, stay out of the way, not make the big mistakes, I think that they have the pieces to be a contender. I right now, the Indianapolis Colts are a pretty good team, and they made them look bad. They made them look really bad. So I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday, but I think over the course of 16 games, Buffalo's going to be there.
You know what? There are rough seas ahead for Rex Ryan's team. We know that, and he will not sustain that even keel that leads to being a true contender in the East. Second place is best they can do in Buffalo.
Yeah, listen, I think in the end of it, you're probably going to be right. The Patriots are going to have a little bit too much. But I think the Bills, unlike in the recent past, I think the Bills can actually pose a threat, and I think the division will go into December and maybe all the way to the end into January before it's decided, because I think they have a couple of things going for them. I know earlier in the show you talked a lot about the weapons that Buffalo has offensively. I think that's absolutely true. And I think you touched on it. Rex Ryan is not going to be afraid. He's going to go after the Patriots. He's not going to kowtow to them. He's not going to punt on fourth and an inch from the Patriots' 37-yard line the way Doug Marrone would have when he was coaching the Bills. He's not going to be afraid. Now, whether or not he can sustain it for 16 games, I don't know. Probably not. But I do think in December, this division is going to be in doubt, and I think Buffalo is going to be the team that's chasing.
Quarterbacks and consistency are what allow you to win somewhere in the range of 12 games, because that's what it's going to take, 12 to 12-plus wins to knock off the Patriots in the East. I'm sorry, I just can't fathom Rex Ryan and Tyrod Taylor being consistent enough to win a dozen football games in the AFC, in the NFL today. There will be highs, great highs, great highs. That's what he's all about. And then bad lows are coming for Rex. It's a roller coaster, and a roller coaster that best chance scenario is second place. The Patriots are far and away the best team.
Here's where I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be dead honest. It's not so much
you're wrong.
It's not so much that I think Buffalo is that good. It's I think so little of the rest of the league. I think they got 11 wins in them. Okay. I think this team can win 11 games. And I think
it's
if
not
you
the
win,
rest of the league they need to beat. They need to beat Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and the New England Patriots to win the AFC East.
Okay, but we're talking about contending. And I think if you win 11 and the Patriots win 12, you still lose
to the Patriots. You lose the throne in the East. You're wrong. I'm right. Thanks for playing.
Maybe the Patriots stub their toe and they get one extra game in. But I think Buffalo can win 11.
I talked last year.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All
All right, we come to the last segment of the show. That means it's question time here on PFW.
Answer time.
Yeah, the first one comes from Ryan Mueller. And he says, what's your take on the number two cornerback spot behind Butler? Do you think Terrell Brown is the guy, or do you think Belichick will go week to week based on the competition?
The answer is probably both. There will probably be some differences game plan throughout the course of the year based on size and matchups. But I do think overall, when you look back at this season, Terrell Brown, you will think of as the number two corner. He'll get more of those opportunities, more starts, whatever you want to say. I think he's a guy that the foot issue clearly was still sort of hindering him in how long it took him to sign and then how long it took him to kind of get in the mix and play more. But I think he's the most talented of the other guys for the job.
You on board with that, Paul?
Absolutely. Co-sign.
Okay. Ben Woodruff writes, and I noticed Sunday there were some pylons knocked over that had cables attached to them. Then during the Monday night game, they showed a replay using a camera mounted inside the pylon to see if the receiver reached the ball into the end zone. Do you think this is a trial run of Bill Belichick's idea of having end line cameras?
Well, clearly the league has had the bake sale that Coach Belichick told them to have, and they're getting some money here.
So yeah. Good brownies.
They were. I'm not sure if it's specifically related to that, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Why not? Try it out. Do some different. Do when they're probably just kind of checking the waters, seeing how it goes, and figure out how it goes from there.
All right. Howard Wolf writes in. I read your paper every week. Well, thank you for that. Simple question. Why don't the Patriots want Jonas Gray? He looked good this preseason.
Fred, you want to handle it?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. Listen, I've said it before. I said it on our radio show. I've said it on this show. I don't see what Jonas Gray has shown that he can't play in the NFL. And there's a lot of guys, I think, that are, you know, just as good as he is at running back. And they're, you know, they have roster spots. So he was on Miami. They brought him to the 53-man squad. Then they waived him, so there is a chance he might go back on their practice squad, but it's a mystery.
How good is he? You know, what has he shown that he is a lead back in the NFL? Even in the preseason, he had that 55-yard run, and all Bill emphasized was, you know, anybody could have run through that. The blocks they make, they're knocking two guys down, blah, blah, blah. So what's he done? What's he done to prove he should play?
But that's my point. What has he done to show he can't?
Lots, probably, behind the scenes.
He's had a 200-yard rushing game. He scored a 55-yard touchdown in preseason. Nah. He hasn't fallen all over himself. What is it on the field that's shown that he can't play? I agree. There has to be something else.
It's not worth it.
All right. Every week, send your questions to AskPFW@Patriots.com.